This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
In only 2 days, you can move your career further, faster with a Harvard DCE Professional and Executive Development Program. Advance your leadership skills, craft smarter business strategies, build your network, and move your career in the right direction. You'll earn a certificate of completion, add Harvard to your CV, and become the leader you want to be. Our intensive programs are designed to fit into your busy schedule. Attend online or on the Harvard campus. Search Harvard Professional and Executive Development to learn more.
This podcast is an unscripted, unedited conversation about true crime. We take the cases very seriously, but I don't take myself seriously at all, and neither should you. Welcome to Wife of Crime.
So, Russ, I think the idea of having a loved one just disappear is a huge fear for so many people. You don't have answers and nothing to go on. And it just seems like an impossible task to find them. Well, the case I'm telling you today is just like that. It's a not very well-known case that needs more attention. This is the disappearance of Carly Gousset. Welcome back to Wife of Crime, a true crime podcast where I tell my husband, Russ, true crime stories and he reacts to them.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, Russ, a.k.a. I wasn't ready the first three times, a.k.a. Stay fit, stay alive, a.k.a. Mr. Woke Up Dead.
Oh.
So, you know, I'll explain them all. The first three ones, Jess was doing the introduction. I kind of wasn't ready. I was looking at my beer, looking at my paper. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, wait, we're ready? Another one was Woke Up Dead.
Yeah.
Your boy worked 98 hours this week.
That's a lot.
Send help, motherfuckers.
I haven't seen Russ since Monday. So this is our first time hanging out since Monday, and it's Saturday. It's been almost a week. I haven't even seen you. And we're spending quality time with the podcast peeps.
And then as soon as I get home, she's going to Baltimore and leaving me alone.
I am. I'm leaving for Baltimore right after this. So, well, you get some alone time.
So it's going to be a weekend of video games, beer, and masturbation.
Ew. Do not say that. You're disgusting, bro. People we know listen to this.
And they all do the same thing.
Russ. Oh, my God.
And then Mr. Stay Fit, Stay Alive is because I sneak to the gym during my work hours.
Yeah, you do.
You know, and I don't know if any of my coworkers listen, but oh well. Because they fat and they tuck their shirts into their jeans pants with their corny New Balance with their white tube socks all the way up to their kneecaps.
Oh, God. Well, I'm Jess, a.k.a. K.O. Jess. You know why? Because I went to a boxing class this week, and I want to encourage all the ladies listening, if you've ever wanted to learn how to fight or self-defense or box, just go, because it took me about a month to get the balls to actually walk in there, because it's like a real boxing gym that opened up in our neighborhood. It's not like a fitness boxing gym, and I've been really scared and intimidated to go, because it's like, you know, it's like boxers that are there and a lot of dudes, and it's intimidating for women. So I finally got the balls to go. There were a couple other women in the class. It was a real boxing class.
Did they have mullets?
No. They were like, you know, young like me.
I'm just talking chicks. If you look at UFC, they got some pretty ladies fighting nowadays.
They do, yeah. But anyway, I went and I had such a great class and I can't wait to go back.
Let me ask you this.
What?
So normally, like when we talk about, like if you're going to punch something, you always make a sound. Like you'll do a fake little jab. You're like, psh.
Yeah.
At the gym where you were punching the bag, were you going, psh?
So actually, I wasn't breathing, I think because I was so nervous, I was holding my breath, and the instructor had to come up to me and tell me that I need to go shh, shh, so that I will breathe, because my face was really red, because I was like holding my breath trying to remember all the combos, because we were punching bags and doing combos, and I was trying to keep track of all the combos in my head. So I wasn't focusing on breathing, and he had to come remind me to breathe like multiple times. So
speaking of work, this week at work, I had a little situation. I was working with the hair and makeup ladies. Like, I work on a film sets and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in their trailer where they do the hair and makeup. And I had to go check on their trailer. They said their water, I quote, smells like Dookie.
In their trailer?
In their trailer, like where they wash the hands, wash the hair.
They said it smells like Dookie?
Yeah, it was like D-O-O-K-I-E.
You didn't have to spell it. Everyone knows.
Well, just in case you were going to say, what'd you say? To be clear.
Uh-huh.
Well, I need a sip. So I went in there, and I turned the water on, and I'm trying to smell it. And I don't know if I smell anything. You know, like you're trying to smell it, so maybe you do.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked out of there, told my boss, I was like, I don't know. I don't really smell anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably like seven ladies in there and the stars go in there and stuff. And I was like, I think what happened is, since it's all ladies, I think someone's farting and not admitting it. Because, you know, ladies don't admit their farts.
We don't. Yeah, we definitely don't.
Yeah, so I don't think it was the water. Someone in there was farting.
Someone in there was farting and then just not saying. And then that she's like, whoever's farting walked over to the sink, turned on the water and goes, guys, do you smell this? I think the water smells bad.
What
That's
a
such a woman thing to do.
What a unique way to try to get away with it.
Yeah.
Like, I love crop dust, and that's my funnest when no one will know it's me. Like, when I worked at Madison Square Garden, like, I'd walk on the floor, like, you know, there's, like, floor seats.
Where all the rich people are?
Well, not really. Sometimes it was, like, general admittance.
Is that admission?
Admission. There you go. And, you know, it'd be, like, a big Travis Scott concert. It'd be more fun for, like, when they're doing, like, some boring opera shit. Just walk through, crop dust, keep it moving.
Oh, my God. You're disgusting.
And they're like, who farted, darling?
That's hilarious. So maybe they were in there just farting.
Yeah.
Ripping them up a storm.
Yeah, but, you know.
That is a really good theory. It's such a woman thing to do. Blame it on something else.
They're also super nice. They gave Jess a giant thing of makeup.
They did. They gave me a bunch of free samples of Tarte makeup. I'm so excited.
Yeah, and this isn't an advertisement. Just, they had mad boxes, and they're like, Russ, do you have a wife? And I thought they was hitting on me. Because your boy's head is big.
And they were like, we want to give her free stuff.
And I was like, yeah. And it was like, oh, it's like, oh, we got this stuff. We give you a care package for your wife.
Oh, that's so sweet. I love everything. I went through it today. I'm so excited. All right. So this month on the Patreon, we covered the documentary Don't Pick Up the Phone. Got a lot of mixed reviews on that documentary.
If you run out of episodes, there's a fuck ton of episodes over there, probably like 40 maybe. I don't know. I'm guessing.
Yeah, there's a lot.
But it's enough, and they're over an hour and so. So if you run out of shit here,
go over there.
Go there. There's more shit.
And if you don't want to download an app on Patreon, you can just do the Apple subscription. You just get the bonus episodes with that one. You don't get as much stuff as you get on Patreon, but it's still a way to listen to all the bonus episodes.
Yeah.
So Russ has the patron shout out.
This week's patrons, the people that joined, are, forgive my reading as usual, Reading Anxiety on Deck, Usenia, Fiona, Izzy, Sarah, Paige, Carrie, Sophia, Daniel, KM Fig, Ryan, Brittany, and Cher. So, in my mind, that's the Cher.
The Cher. Cheers to you guys. Yeah,
cheers to you guys. Cher is the hottest old woman in the world.
She really is.
Like, there's no one hotter in her age bracket than Cher.
No one's hotter than Cher at her. She's literally almost 80, I think.
What?
She's like in her 70s.
Man, if I could do it again, I'd marry Cher. Because she's going to have a lot of money. She ain't going to last long.
Russ!
Hey, listen. Let me plead my case. I'd come back to you, baby. But I wouldn't have to work 98 hours if I was married to Cher.
Oh, God.
I be by the pool doing sit-ups with baby oil on.
All right. Okay. Do your review of the week. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I felt a little weird about reading this one.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't like being told what to do.
Yeah, you definitely do not like being told what to do. That's true.
Yeah, which that's the hardest part of being married to Jess, because she likes to tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I lived 30 years without her, so I'd be all right. So this one is from Rye something. I can't read that. And it says, Russ, read me. So that you almost not get read. It says, I just found this pod this week, though you've been on my list to try for a while. I love your relationship, and as a fellow ADD-er, I have no issue following Russ at all. You guys rock.
Aww.
When I'm done binging the free content, I'm jumping behind the paywall. Shoot, I'd even join Russ's OnlyFans to hear his jokes. LOL. Well, you know, I'm OnlyFans. I might be butt-naked telling jokes.
Oh, God. No.
No. So
that was good. Thank you.
Yeah, so thanks, whatever those letters are. They're just
It's
like,
just a bunch of letters.
They might have tried to spell something. It's like initials or something.
Well, thank you. You know who you are. Thank you so much, everybody. And thank you for all the great reviews.
So I had a proud moment this week.
What?
Well, do you have any proud moments this week of things you've done?
No.
Oh, you went to boxing class.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Mm-hmm. So my proudest moment of the week was me and Jess went to eat. And I kind of don't like being served anymore. So I prefer to go to places like Dig, mm-hmm. where you get your food, Chipotle. I don't really love Chipotle, but it's like seems clean eating.
Mm-hmm.
And where you get your food and you walk to your table.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one of those. I forgot which one. And, you know, I got my food and the person says, enjoy. And I didn't say you too. I was like,
that made you happy?
Because I was about to say it. I was like, thanks. And I walked away and I was like, you're growing, Russ.
So you always say you too?
I fucking hate it. When I walk away, it's so awkward. And everyone says, enjoy, you too. Or like every time I get Chinese food or anything, enjoy, you too. Like, they're not even eating.
I can't believe that you even put thought into that.
You don't do that?
No.
You don't say you too?
No. Sometimes I do, but I just don't care that I say it. It doesn't bother me that I say it.
It's kind of like an automatic response just to like have something to say so I don't have to talk anymore.
Yeah.
But I didn't say you too.
Well, good job.
Yeah.
So, missing persons cases are probably the most head-scratching, nerve-wracking cases of all. The victim is not only gone without a trace, but solving the crime feels like it's almost impossible. This is the third episode of the three that the Patreon crime family picked. Last week, we covered the runner-up in the poll, which was a wrongful conviction of Hugh Burton. If you haven't listened to that one, you have to. It's one of my favorite cases I've ever researched out of the entire library of our cases.
Very positive dude from the Bronx.
Absolutely. Hugh is such an inspiration.
And from the Bronx, we ain't that positive. We just be like, shit is fucked up. God damn it.
Well, Hugh is an amazing person. So definitely check that episode out if you haven't. In third place in our poll, we have Unsolved. But in the comment section of Patreon on this poll, I had a few members of the family say they wanted specifically an unsolved missing persons case. And boy, do I have a doozy.
We got to solve this motherfucker.
Of a case today. So this is for you guys. This case deserves way more attention than it's gotten. It is a tangled web of family drama and very off-the-wall theories. There is a lot in this case that can easily distract us from the real moral of the story, which is that a young girl is still missing and she deserves to be found. This case really gives me like Amy Lynn Bradley vibes, the girl that went missing on the cruise ship.
Oh, yeah, one? Where they think she might have got sold into sex trades and stuff.
Yeah, so this case gives me Amy Lynn Bradley vibes. It's a weird one for sure. This is the disappearance of Carly Gousset. Are you ready?
Yes.
On October 13th, 2018, Mono County Sheriff's Office received a call reporting 16-year-old Carly Gousset missing. Her stepmother, Melissa, was the last person to see her alive and says she saw her earlier that morning in her bedroom, laying in her bed at 5:45 a.m.
How old was she?
16.
Okay.
By 7:15, she was gone and the front door to their home was wide open. Police actually jumped on this case right away, so shout out to them. They tore this small community and surrounding desert apart looking for Carly.
That's good, because a lot of times they don't jump on cases right away if you haven't been missing for
a certain amount of
whatever
time
they think is good.
Yeah.
Because I think what we've learned, it isn't 24 hours like on TV shows. It's just when they feel it's right.
Yeah. So in this case, they jumped on it, which, you know, like I said, shout out to them for that. They tore this community and surrounding desert apart looking for Carly. But the investigation into her disappearance would later spiral out of control over the next few years. With multiple Facebook Live videos that were labeled as suspicious, a feud between Carly's biological mom, Lindsay, and stepmom, Melissa, that actually landed them on your favorite TV show.
Maury?
No. The Dr. Phil Show.
I hate Dr. Phil. If I ever see Dr. Phil,
it's on site.
It's on site. You know, I'm just going to smack his bald head. I don't like bossy know-it-alls.
And a Reddit rabbit hole with many people convinced that a food-eating fetish YouTuber was a kidnapped and trafficked Carly Gousset, who was being forced to stuff her face with seafood while blindfolded in these YouTube videos. Like I said earlier, this case gets weird. So who is Carly, and what happened to her in the hours right before she disappeared? Carly Lane Gousset was born May 13th, 2002, in Bishop, California, to Zach Gousset and Lindsay Fairley. Her parents got divorced when Carly was only 2 years old. The divorce was actually pretty amicable. Like, everyone got along decently well for a divorce situation.
And they both just said, you ain't shit, I don't want to be here.
Yeah, exactly. And it wasn't like this whole terrible fight or anything. It was pretty amicable. A few years later, Zach remarried Carly's stepmom, Melissa. Lindsay decided to move to Las Vegas, and although Carly was living with her mom at the time, she was like middle school age. She had a lot of friends, and she decided it would be better if she moved in with her dad and her stepmom so that she could stay in the same community, stay in the same school, and she didn't have to like move far away to Las Vegas. So when Carly was in high school, the family moved about 20 minutes away to a pretty secluded community outside of Bishop called Chalfont Valley, California. Now, this is very important in this story because this is the home that she would eventually disappear from. And it is incredibly secluded, this community. It's literally the complete opposite of how we live here in New York City.
Dude, you know what? I need a break. I feel like I'm in.
Well,
I'll take the risk of kidnapping.
I want to show you on the Google Maps this area so that you can kind of get an idea of what I'm talking about with how this area is completely surrounded by desert. And it's literally, like I said, the opposite of how we live here. So when you look at this little white area, that's the community. All of that is desert.
Oh,
and
sure.
There is one highway, Highway 6, that goes right through the community. But literally, all desert.
You know, like, whenever I see something like that, I think of The Hills Have Eyes.
Yes.
Like they're going to lick your ear while you're sleeping or something.
So,
and then like their tooth might fall out in your ear.
Ew.
Yeah, all their teeth are loose. It's a genetic inbreeding thing.
So this community is like right off the highway and there's nothing around for miles and miles. Just highway and desert. That's literally it. Carly was doing really well in school at Bishop Union High School. She was a junior. She had a boyfriend named Donald, and she worked part-time at a tile company where her stepmom also worked. According to her parents, Carly was doing really well in this new town because it was only 20 minutes away from her old house, and she still saw all of her friends, and she stayed in the same school, so they weren't worried about her after
the move. You're doing good if you're 16 years old. and you got a job and like
you have a boyfriend. You're
No. So you're not doing good if you're 16 years old and you have a boyfriend.
Okay.
Dads, let them know.
Okay.
You're not doing good. Okay. At least, dads, you got to put him in a headlock once so he knows the grown man strength. Don't let these youngins, you know, with their low testosterone think they could do something.
Well, what I'm saying is her family kind of just described her as just like a typical teenager. They didn't notice any odd behavior around this time in her life, and everything seemed to be going good. On October 12th, 2018, Carly came home from school and told her parents that she was going to go to a football game that evening. But like a lot of teenagers, she wasn't really totally honest about where she was actually going.
Why would anyone have kids?
Carly, her boyfriend, and a group of friends actually went to a house party.
Told you, Dad. Put him in a headlock.
After being gone for a few hours, Melissa, her stepmom, texted Carly around 8:30 p.m. and asked if she needed to be picked up, like if she needed a ride home. Carly said no, and she said she was going to get a ride home with one of her friends and she would be home soon. Well, about 30 minutes later, around 9 o'clock, Carly calls Melissa, and she sounded very upset and very paranoid, and she begged Melissa to come pick her up. Even though 30 minutes ago she said no, she didn't need a ride. Now she's calling her super frantic, saying she's very scared and I need you to come pick me up right now. So Melissa's weirded out by this and she starts getting super scared herself. She immediately jumps in the car and heads towards Carly. She asks Carly where she is, and at first she says she's standing outside of Highlands Park, which is a mobile home park. When Melissa gets there, she's not there. So Melissa starts driving all around the area, but now it's dark, it's nighttime, and it's very secluded over there. There's like no street lights. It's incredibly black outside.
It's hard sometimes to understand that coming from New York, mm-hmm. where there's lights everywhere.
Well, Melissa starts driving all around the area, and after driving about a mile down the road, she sees this light in front of her bouncing up and down in the distance. So she drives towards it. As she approaches this bouncing light, she realizes this is the light from Carly's phone. It's her flashlight that's on, and she's running alone, full speed, down the street like someone is chasing her.
On the street?
On the street. And Melissa sees her and pulls up to her. And she's like, what are you doing? Melissa yells, Carly, get in the car. What are you doing? Are you okay? Get in the car. So Carly gets in the back seat instead of the front seat. As soon as she gets in, Carly tells Melissa, I'm sorry, we didn't go to the game. We actually went to a party and I smoked some weed. So immediately Melissa's like, oh, okay. A little
paranoid. Some people get the paranoid.
Yeah,
from
this
the
girl's
weed.
Just high and paranoid. Okay, that's what's going on.
And
here.
I don't get high from weed, fun fact.
Yeah, you don't.
It's so weird.
So being a high paranoid person is actually scary AF. I've been there, done that. And it's no fun. And taking care of a high paranoid person is equally no fun. So Melissa says, it's okay, Carly. She wasn't about to reprimand her about it right now. She just wanted to get her home where she could be safe and they can get her to come down a little bit off of this high. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Well, as you guys know, this has literally been the hardest year of our lives. 2023 really kicked us in the ass and it has been tough. I'm not going to lie. I've spoken many times about the fact that I started therapy in 2020 after COVID, and it has been life-changing for me. I don't think I could have gotten through this year as well as I have without the tools that I learned and gained through my therapy sessions. Russ and I are a prime example that life throws curveballs. And if you're in a place right now where you feel like you need some tools that could help you deal with any curveballs that are thrown your way, I highly suggest you give therapy a try. Over the last year, we've partnered with BetterHelp to give you 10% off your first month. So head over to betterhelp.com/wifeofcrime1 to get 10% off. You can use promo code wifeofcrime1. And like I said, give it a try. See if you like it. It's all completely online. You just answer a questionnaire and they will match you with a therapist, and you can change therapists at any time. BetterHelp.com/wifeofcrime1, promo code wifeofcrime1.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So as they're driving home, Carly is saying very off-the-wall, confusing things. She's not making much sense at all. And she's actually starting to hallucinate. When they walk into the house, Melissa brings her into the kitchen and tries to give her some food, hoping that like a little food in her belly would sober her up.
She might be on some shrooms.
Well, Zach, Carly's dad, says as soon as she came in, he didn't think she was just stoned and paranoid. Her behavior was way more erratic and off the wall than like a typical weed paranoia. So at some point, they try to get her to eat a salad. And yeah, which is a very random choice, I think. Like,
you know, they're staying fit, staying alive. They're like, you know,
eat a salad.
But you know what? If you want me to eat something, don't pass me a salad. Pass me some mac and cheese.
Exactly. Like you would think.
I love some Kraft mac and cheese.
Especially if you think someone is really high. Like you want to get carbs in them. You want to give them some heavy foods to like kind of bring them down a little and sober them up. Salad was a weird choice, but anyway.
I don't know about that. I don't know about give them carbs. Just give them something that they will eat. Because if you pass me salad, I'm going to pass that shit to the side.
Yeah. She agrees to the salad and she took the first bite. But as soon as she took a bite, she spits it out and says, "No, no, no. This is the devil's lettuce." Seriously, she said that. Now, I'm no expert, but this is where the story shifts for me. So I want to talk a little bit about preoccupation with religion. When someone is psychotic, right? I'm not an expert. Okay, don't get me wrong. I'm not a psychiatrist. But I've worked in an environment where I'm around a lot of psychotic people and people having acute psychotic episodes in the psych ER. When someone is psychotic, they tend to be very preoccupied with religion. They tend to think they're God. They tend to think that Jesus is coming or the devil is here or the devil is speaking to them. When they're psychotic, their hallucinations sometimes have these like religious undertones. So
I'm curious though about that. If you had no knowledge of religion and there was no Bible, just pretend there's no religions, what would they be thinking about if they didn't have those, I don't know. That knowledge in their head of things, just, you know, what's good and evil perceived by the Bible or...
Well, here's the thing. It's not... A psychotic episode doesn't make everybody get preoccupied with religion. This doesn't happen to everyone, but it is a pattern that we see with psychotic people is when they're having a psychotic episode, some people, it's a trend kind of thing that they get preoccupied with good and evil and religious undertones. It happens often. It's a trend. Now, you know, when it comes to delusions and psychotic behavior and hallucinations, weed paranoia doesn't typically do this to you. However, there is a thing called cannabis-induced psychosis, which is studied, and it really does happen, where someone can smoke enough weed to make them enter into a psychotic episode. And has happened in the past, and people like to say it doesn't happen, but it does.
Caffeine, too. I was listening to a podcast. See, Jess sends me probably three podcasts a day I should listen to. And I never, ever listen, along with TikTok. She sends me tons of TikToks, tons of podcasts. And I never listen. But this one podcast I happen to listen to,
mm-hmm.
because that's something I was interested in.
Yep.
And there's a such thing as if you drink enough caffeine, you can like hallucinate.
Yeah.
So that's also one. But I guess it has to be a crazy amount. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. It does have to be a lot. And same with weed.
Like, so I'm about to go make a few cups of coffee, folks.
It's the same with weed, too. However, if you take mushrooms, for instance, or some type of hallucinogenic, you are going to hallucinate. So I may or may not in the past have taken shrooms and hallucinated. And when I hallucinated and had a really bad trip, which this is kind of what this is sounding like at the moment, like she's having a horrible trip, I saw demonic things, like religious things were in my head during my trip.
That's crazy. But if you never heard of religion, what would have you tripped on?
Like,
what
would have you seen,
you know? So like, because what I'm saying is it real?
No, like, this is all in the person's head.
No, but if you never heard of religion and you hallucinate these things, maybe they are real. Like, it's like a fourth dimension or third, you know what I mean? Like, you never know.
Like, you're entering a new realm.
Yeah, because you know about these things, so, like, they pop in your head when you're tripping.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if they pop in your head and you never heard of them, maybe it's another realm. You know?
It could be.
Your third eye.
It could be. So, you know, this is starting...
I'm mad woke, folks.
This is starting to sound, when she says the devil's lettuce, and then she starts to get a little religious after this, having like religious speech, like talking about evil and the devil and God, it starts to sound like two things. Either she's entered into a psychotic break, right? Or a psychosis situation induced by weed, or she's tripping and having a really bad trip. For me personally, weed has never given me a psychotic episode, but I've been paranoid a few times from weed, but never to this point. But I've done mushrooms and I had a horrible trip and it's been this bad. So Carly was going back and forth, right, between being scared of her parents and thinking they were trying to kill her. And then she would flip and say, oh my God, I love you. I'm so glad I'm home. Thank you for keeping me safe. And she kept going back and forth between these two things. And by now, it's been a couple hours. So they decided to try to get Carly to go to sleep. Which, if you're on shrooms or you're psychotic in both situations, you ain't going to sleep.
How about some melatonin?
Nothing's going to put them to sleep. The only thing that puts people who are psychotic to sleep is a 5-2-50, which is three drugs that we inject in your arm when you're acting psychotic and out of control.
Or,
and that's a lot of drugs.
A full Nelson. You throw them in the fiend, go to sleep, Craig.
But Melissa decides we're going to try to get her to go to sleep. And they get her changed into a white t-shirt and gray sweatpants, and they put her in bed. As she's trying to get her to bed, Melissa decides to film Carly. She doesn't put the camera on her. She just turns the camera on her phone so that you can hear everything she's saying. And she does this, she says, because she wants to show Carly this stuff tomorrow when she sobers up, to kind of say, like, look how you were acting last night. Like, you need to be careful with drugs. Look at what this did to you.
Very, very fair point.
So they still think that she's really high on something. Finally, Carly lays down in bed. And Melissa climbs in bed with her because Carly tells her she's too afraid to be alone. Melissa says over the course of the next few hours, Carly didn't go to sleep at all. She was up wide awake. She was still saying a lot of really bizarre things. At one point, she starts coloring on paper and writing all of these illegible things. Melissa says that she kept dozing off in and out of sleep. At one point, she was just laying stiff next to Melissa, staring at the ceiling. Melissa says finally, around 5:45 a.m., she wakes up again and Carly is laying next to her, finally asleep. So she's relieved and she says she fell back asleep. And then at 6:37, she wakes up again, but Carly is gone.
Oh, so she probably just walked out the house.
She starts looking all over the house and sees that the front door is open.
Let me ask you this. You got a kid that's doing all that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you let him sleep next to you? Because I don't. I'm like,
yeah, they're just psychotic, Russ. They're not going to stab you.
But what do psychotic people do sometimes?
To be honest, at that point, after that many hours of her behavior like that, I probably would have taken her to the ER. I would have.
Well, that's annoying. I don't want to go to the ER. I'd probably lock her in her room.
I would have taken her to the ER.
We'll deal with it in the morning after I get some sleep.
Nah, I probably just would have taken her to the ER, to be honest, because, you know, you don't know if this is drug-induced. You don't know if this is actual a psychotic break that she's having because she is in the age group where schizophrenia has its onset.
Is there an age where you're more likely to get schizophrenia and after you become a certain age and you're older, you won't get it?
Yeah, the age group for onset of schizophrenia is from late teens to like early to mid 30s.
But
it tends to happen in like early 20s, and it usually or can happen triggered by some type of stressful situation.
I think I'm
or drug induced.
I've been stressed and I'm not in my mid 30s no more.
Yeah, you're good. So she wakes up and Carly's gone. She looks all over the house and she sees that the front door is open. She goes and wakes up her husband, Zach, and the two of them take separate cars and they start driving all over the neighborhood and all over the area searching for Carly. They search for about 2 hours. And then at 9 a.m., they call Lindsay, Carly's birth mom. Okay?
That makes sense. But does she live far?
In Las Vegas. Zach calls her and the first thing he says to Lindsay is, Carly's gone. Now, that word choice will later become a big deal in this case, but I'll elaborate on that in a little bit. Lindsay says she immediately took that as Carly is dead, not missing.
Mm-hmm.
And she totally flips out on the phone. But Zach says no, she's missing, and explains the situation about her behavior over the last several hours. Lindsay hops in her car and starts driving to California. Meanwhile, Melissa calls 911 and reports Carly missing. And she says that she thinks Carly ran away, but explains her state of mind and everything that was going on in the hours before this. So this is why police jump on this and start searching immediately. They canvass the neighborhood and they get 3 eyewitnesses who say they saw a young girl in a white shirt and gray sweatpants walking down the street, carrying a white piece of paper and waving it in the air. Now, one of the witnesses says he saw Carly walking right next to Highway 6, like right along the highway. Now, Carly left all of her personal items at home. The only thing she had was the clothes she was wearing and apparently this piece of paper that she had in her hand. The search got very extensive into the surrounding desert. They honestly didn't hold back at all. They used drones, infrared drones, helicopters, all-terrain vehicles, search dogs, multiple search parties.
They didn't go that far on feet.
Exactly. They assumed she walked out and got lost in the desert. So that was
because she was on her psychotic thing.
Yeah.
But if it's psychotic, you could be scooped up in a van.
Exactly. So we're going to talk about theories later. But the search, you know, the police went about this search thinking she's lost in the desert. So they went pretty much 20 miles in every direction with all of these search parties, vehicles, resources looking for her. And this went on for days.
And they had technology. It isn't like it happened. What year was this?
2018.
Oh, man. Yeah, so you have drones and stuff. It isn't just like a deputy on his bicycle.
Exactly.
No more.
It's a lot. Meanwhile, Melissa was posting a lot of Facebook Live videos about the situation, while Lindsay, her biological mom, stayed off social media and kind of hung back. She didn't participate in the searches either. They took totally opposite approaches to this, and this is where the bad blood started between them.
There's nothing suspicious for either one of their activities to me. Everyone handles things different. I'm not on social media that much.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else is.
Yeah.
I don't mean by you. I'm not like pointing fingers, but like other people are.
Yeah.
And people deal with things differently. Some people post you know, you take pictures of your food and put it on there. Stop doing that, weirdos.
Was that aimed at me because of my lunchbox post?
Nah, if the shoe fits, wear it. You or whoever else is listening. Nobody cares what you eat. We all eat. That's how. If none of us ate, we wouldn't be alive. So, like, we're, you know, I like peanut butter and jelly. Would you want to see a picture?
Well, you're right. I agree with you on this. Like, they took totally different approaches, but neither one of them is wrong. Everyone handles these types of situations differently. But people, including Lindsay, started criticizing Melissa for the Facebook Lives, saying they were attention-seeking, and her descriptions of the night before and morning of were inconsistent. But Melissa says, no, I'm using social media to keep as much attention on her case as possible.
See, but I understand that, too. There's two ways to look at it.
Exactly.
Some people think that social media is a joke, and if you do things on there, you're just trying to get attention. But you could use that attention for good sometimes.
Yep, exactly. I agree. So the search went on for 9 days before the police finally called it off. They went miles and miles in every direction, but Carly was sadly never found and has never been seen again. Like I told you in the beginning, though, this case got weird. So Zach, Melissa, and Lindsay started really feuding and criticizing one another. And this feud somehow, I have no idea how, made its way to the Dr. Phil show. The three of them.
No fucking way.
It did. The three of them ended up doing a 2-part special on the show, but it mainly focused on the drama between the three of them.
Dr. Phil is such an opportunist. That's why I hate this motherfucker. Let me go on that show. But you know why I won't go on that show?
Mm.
Because I want to smack the shit out of him.
Well, I found it in such poor taste, honestly. Like,
him and his mustache, bro. What's up with that caterpillar on your face? It ain't making up for the lack of hair on your head or how slow you talk or anything else. Shout out to Bum Fights for clowning that fool. Look up Bum Fights Dr. Phil. He acted like he kicked them off. They clowned his foolish ass.
Well, like, maybe to them, they thought they were signing up for an opportunity to keep attention on Carly's case.
Yeah.
But the way it was presented was just gross because it was really focusing on the feud between them. All this back and forth, blame game, he said, she said, blah, blah, blah. And it totally took the focus off of Carly and the fact that she is still missing.
It shows that Dr. Phil is a piece of shit. Hashtag fuck Dr. Phil.
So you can go watch it if you want, but I'm going to give you guys a little summary. Zach and Melissa are pissed at Lindsay for not participating in the searches. Lindsay thinks the Facebook Lives were all for attention and is angry that Melissa filmed Carly while in that altered state of mind.
And that's not weird.
And Lindsay pretty much alluded on the show that she thinks Zach and Melissa know more and that they may have actually harmed Carly. Or an accident happened and they buried Carly's body to cover it up.
I could see the accident, but I don't see the filming having anything to do with it. I think the filming shows that they planned on her being around tomorrow to show you, look at you, dumbass. You need to stop doing these drugs.
Exactly. I totally agree. So she pretty much flat out said that she thinks Carly may have OD'd and that they buried her. But
I don't believe that.
I don't believe that either because
a desperate mom, man.
I understand, but you don't OD hours after taking a drug. Like, I just don't buy it. So at this point, the three of them have zero communication and pretty much hate each other, which is very, very sad.
I understand that. I'd probably be there too.
Yeah, but it's sad because it's taking the focus off of them putting efforts into finding Carly like as a united front.
Yeah, but you're all just hurt that she's missing and everyone's pointing fingers.
It's really unfortunate.
It's just a bad situation. There's no right way to act. The only right way to act is to find her, and it seems like that's really tough.
So I'm going to answer some common questions about this case, okay? Some questions that come up really often when this case is talked about. No. The weed she smoked was not laced. We know this because a lot of people said, was the weed laced? No, it was not laced. And we know this because her friends smoked the same weed and they didn't have this type of reaction. And they all smoked the same weed out of the same spot.
Let me ask you this, though.
Hmm.
Do some people have different reactions to the same drug?
So, like we talked about earlier, yes, you can get paranoid or you can have cannabis induced psychosis. So either she took something like shrooms or the weed or shrooms or both caused an onset of a psychotic episode. And we talked about that it can absolutely happen. According to the National Institutes on Drug Abuse, psychosis resulting from cannabis use can last anywhere from 3 to 24 hours, which makes total sense in this case. Carly had no history of mental illness. However, according to multiple friends, she had been acting very paranoid in the weeks before this. Her parents say, however, no, they did not notice any odd behavior prior to that day.
Maybe sometimes parents always just think teenagers are weird.
But to be honest, I'm going to believe her friends on this one.
Me too.
Yeah.
Because everyone thinks teenagers are weird and thinks that, oh, they're listening to this stupid new music and they're just doing weird shit.
Yeah.
No, parent, you just didn't grow with the times and you're not observant.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that her friends coming out to police and saying that she had been acting really paranoid leading up to this kind of shows me that something was going on. And no, you don't have to have a history of mental illness to have a psychotic break or to, unfortunately, to get schizophrenia, which is a chronic form of psychotic behavior. Yeah, so I do believe her friends on this one. So what are the theories in this case? Theory one, she experienced cannabis-induced psychosis, walked out of her house that morning, walked into the desert, got lost, and eventually died from the elements.
Are there animals in the desert that will eat you?
I'm sure.
But I feel
it's
like
the desert in California.
But I thought animals don't live in the desert.
Maybe not. I honestly...
Maybe like coyotes or something?
Possibly, yeah. Coyotes definitely live out there, but...
No, but if it's a desert, there's no water.
Well,
hashtag
I think,
rush to National Geographic-er.
I think coyotes live in the desert. But I don't even think animals would be the problem. I think the elements. Like, the desert is a harsh place.
Yeah, but then your body would just lay there and they probably could find you with a drone.
Maybe, because they did use an infrared drone, too. Like... to look through trees and whatever is out there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or theory two, she OD'd and her parents covered it up by burying her body.
No, I
completely
right. That's out.
That's out too to me. Theory three, she suffered a psychotic episode from whichever substance she took.
Yep.
And she was abducted by someone driving on Highway 6 because, remember, the witness saw her walking along Highway 6.
Yep.
I find this the most plausible. And the reason is they searched for miles and miles in that desert with so many resources. And I don't think she could have gotten that far on foot and them not have found her in the 9 days going miles and miles away from her home.
That seems the most plausible.
The last thing I have to talk about in this case is Kate Yupp. Who is Kate Yupp? You ask. You didn't, but I'll tell you. Kate Yupp is a...
Jess, who's Kate Yupp?
Kate Yupp is a really weird as fuck YouTube account of a girl named Kate who sits in front of a giant plate of seafood every day. Raw seafood, mind you.
On her belly?
No. At a table.
Does it get stuck in her belly button?
Just listen. At a table. Things like octopus tentacles. A gigantic amount of food and eats it blindfolded.
Sounds like a slob.
Now, this YouTube channel is ASMR, which ASMR is like this new trend that people have on TikTok and on YouTube where they... people get like a tingling sensation from hearing mouth noises and whispers. Yes. So
you motherfuckers are weird, bro.
So like you can put on ASMR of like true crime and you have a girl telling a story like this. And this is how she's talking about the whole thing. It's so weird.
I wish you would. Don't do that again.
So there are tons of accounts like this. And I honestly don't get it. But like Whatever flips your switch.
That means you're old. Anything you don't get that's new just means you're old.
Well, whatever flips your switch, if you want to listen to ASMR, whatever.
I ain't gonna whisper, bro.
For me, though, as someone who hearing the sound of someone chewing their food is my literal nightmare, if there is a hell.
Like my sister hates, I slurp cereal.
Yes, you do. You slurp.
Whatever. The fucking Fruit Loops will cut your whole mouth up. You gotta be gentle.
Yeah, well, you're a slurper. If there is a hell, it will include multiple people sitting at a table eating and smacking while they eat. So I can't even watch this girl's videos with the sound on. But needless to say, this account is weird as fuck. It has 1.6 million subscribers. Okay? So a couple years ago, the Reddit peeps posed a theory that Kate Yupp is Carly Gousset. And they had this theory because there are moles on her collarbone and the moles are in the exact same place as Carly's moles.
Oh.
And her mouth looks very similar, but you can't see anything on Kate's face. She's blindfolded from the mouth up, so all you see is her mouth.
Can we get like an expert with like faces or something to get on that?
They even went as far as to say things in the comments like, Kate, if you're Carly, wear yellow next video. Shit like that. And Kate played into it. She spelled out help in her title at one point.
With octopus legs.
She wore the color that they said to wear for help. But it turns out this girl has now officially been proven to not be Carly. And I find this really gross. Because whoever is running the Kate Yupp account is a scumbag for playing into that and making her family think for 1 second that it could be Carly.
The world that we live in, man.
Now, some people think the girl in these videos is being forced to do this. She has bruises on her arms.
No way. She's just a kook.
She has bruises on her arms, and it's just really odd. I honestly get the weirdest feeling from that channel. I don't like it. I don't like watching it. I find it super weird. But it has now been proven to not be Carly Gousset. But I'm going to show you a video just so you can see what I'm talking about and how weird this is. It's nasty. So
wait. So she has 1.6 million followers.
Yes.
And I hate seafood, right? But your boy's down. Who's ready to join? What y'all want to see me eat?
You should see the comments. The comments are even more creepy than the video.
You know what would be funnier than that?
Because this is like a fetish, I think.
You know what would be more funnier than that?
What?
If we did a YouTube channel just like that, the view, the nose. Don't subscribe to her shit, folks, because now you found it.
Yeah.
But if we did a YouTube channel of that, of Jess eating corn. The way she devours corn, it spins the way a typewriter spins the wheel.
Oh my gosh, shut up.
She is the corn machine.
I do love corn. It's true. It's my favorite food.
But the way you eat it.
Okay, so.
That should be in your nostrils. It'd okay. be like, it splashes up. You eat it so fast.
So, Kate Yupp. You know, this channel, it's super creepy. The people commenting on it are super weird. You can tell this is a fetish because of the comments. When you read them, they're like, oh yeah, Kate, devour all of that. I love the way she slurps. Like, it's really, really weird. And I don't get it. But thank God it has now been shown to not be Carly. And they made an announcement on the Carly Gousset Facebook and Instagram. So they do have an Instagram for Carly Gousset's case. You can follow it. It shows all the updates and everything going on with it. Because this case is not that old. It just happened in 2018. It's been 5 years now. But Carly was only 16 at the time. She has dark blonde, light brown hair and blue eyes. She's 5'7". And at the time she disappeared, she weighed 110 pounds. She has a left nose piercing. If you have any information regarding Carly Gousset, you can call the Mono County Sheriff's Office, 760-932-5678. I will post this on the post that is coordinated with this episode on our social medias. You could also call the FBI because the FBI is involved in this case. At 916-746-7000. And So sad. Like, I just feel so sad because I personally think that it's more likely that she was psychotic. She walked out of her house and she ended up getting abducted. I really hope not, but
I don't want to think that, but I do think it.
It's likely.
It seems the most likely because how she couldn't have walked that far. She's in a desert.
Yeah. It's very bizarre, the whole thing.
Yo, women, carry pepper spray, protect yourselves, carry knives.
Go to boxing class.
That too. Do anything to protect yourselves, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
I was thinking about trying to figure out like some type of self-defense stuff for women, you know, that we could do, you know, just get some.
I know. We need
pepper spray. To me, when I tell Jess, pepper spray is the best, and she keeps it in the stupid bottom of her purse, where you'd be like, hold on. I have to dig in the bottom of the purse. What? And you know how I know it takes a long time to dig in the bottom of the purse? Because when we walk up to the house and I didn't bring my keys, we're outside of the apartment for 5 minutes while she's digging for her keys. So were you going to tell the guy, hold on, I'm prepared for you. You just got to give me a minute.
I would not. Russ, when I walk to my car after work, I carry my pepper spray in my hand.
You got to spray someone because if someone can't see, you're good.
It's true. You can run away.
And if you feel like you're a good kicker and they're on the ground, put one right in their fucking mouth.
Or in their balls.
You should probably.
The balls hurt.
You can do the balls, but you know why you can't do the balls? Because if your pants are like slightly drooped, like it absorbs the impact, you know? Oh,
okay.
These molesters aren't walking around wearing yoga pants.
That's true.
With moose knuckle.
All right, everybody. Well, have a wonderful week. So check us out on Instagram at Wife of Crime Pod, Facebook at Wife of Crime, The Crime Family, and Patreon at Wife of Crime Pod. And we will check you guys later.
I'm going to sleep.
Bye.
Peace.